Let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and then find the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of the page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on that page. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hi, welcome back to Deep Dive into Scripture. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm here with Father John Wargle. Welcome, Father John. Hey, what do you got to say today?
Greetings, everyone. Last week, we talked about what Genesis 1:1 was about. This week, I'd like to talk about what it is not.
What it is not about. Well, we did talk some things about what it is not about last week. So, for instance, we did share about how it's not about just a scientific layout of this is how God created. On day one, he did this. On day two, he did this.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So it's what we decided was it's more complementary, the science and the story.
Right.
What did you call them? Motifs?
Yeah.
The way that they're laid out. Mm-hmm. All of that is so, it brings everything together. And so when we think about it, we have to think about the science of it that we study and have studied. But we also need to be sure we're aware of the motifs and immerse ourselves in the motifs to get the most out of the story.
Excellent.
Okay,
excellent.
So sorry for the interruption.
So what we want to do now is get into some more motifs. Uh-huh. And what we have here, of course, we have the introductory shout of praise we talked about last week. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now verse 2, very important. And the earth. I'll give a little Hebrew. You don't mind if I do that, do you?
Oh, you can go ahead. People won't understand.
Ha-aretz.
Say that one more time. Go start
again. Ha-aretz. Yeah. Ha-aretz. It's the and the earth. It was, and this, I love these Hebrew lines here. Okay. Tohu va-vohu. Now, almost anybody can get that. Can you say that, Dan?
Tohu va-vohu.
That's right. Yeah.
Is it vohu?
Tohu means formless, and vohu means void.
Oh.
And that's how they're traditionally translated, okay? So we have the motif of earth, the earth, formless earth. And choshech, that's the Hebrew word for darkness, was al panei, or the face of tehom. Okay, tehom is the deep, the watery deep.
Okay.
So we have three things here already. We've got formless earth, and we have darkness, and the next thing is the watery deep. These are the three primal elements of chaos.
Wow, big motifs.
And any one of these, right. Any one of these taken of themselves are incompatible to human living.
Okay.
Okay, so we can't live on formless earth, like on a moonscape. Or I don't know if you've ever been out in the desert. You can't be out there very long, and you don't want to be out there very long,
sure, right?
Yeah. Right, it's scary. It's scary. And then a darkness, you might say, well, I'm not afraid of the dark, you know, but kids are afraid of dark, but that's because they're smarter than we are. Yeah. There is something scary about darkness,
right.
Okay? We can't live in the dark, right? And then, of course, Tehom, the watery deep. Have you been out on the ocean in a storm, right?
Yes, I got saved on the ocean one time.
No kidding.
In a riptide. It pulled me out.
Yeah.
So that was really scary.
So
because
you experienced
I was just swimming.
Tehom. Yeah.
I was swimming.
Right.
And I couldn't get back in. And a lifeguard had to come out and get me. It was when I was about 10.
Oh. But you never forgot it, right?
Never forgot it. See, I brought it up pretty quick.
Yeah. And so Tehom, the water deep, plus its sea creatures or sea monsters, that really represents death.
Ah, wow. Okay.
And the sea monster is a personification of death. We all, no matter what culture we are, we have to put a face on evil and death. The two are synonymous in scriptures,
mm-hmm.
you know, sin and death. There's the link there. Okay. We'll talk about that many times over as we get going.
But, sure.
But the sea monster is the face of death. And we all have our monsters. And we'll talk about that more later on. You see, these are the three elements of chaos. The issue here, Danny, is not what theologians call creatio ex nihilo, which means creation out of nothing. Rather, what God is doing here, if you look carefully at the chapters, is that these three elements are there. Now, in the Bible, these three elements are not co-eternal. That's very important to know. And when the Catechism uses creatio ex nihilo, they are using that, if you look carefully, in the way that it's not that there was nothing absolutely before, because how do you explain nothing, Danny?
Yeah, that's pretty impossible. As you said in your letter in the post, you can't really explain that. What is nothing? The absence of anything? You know,
you can't talk about it.
Right.
And if there's something called nothing that exists, did it exist with God forever? Right.
Right. Sure. So that's what I was kind of thinking about this, is that when I think of nothing, it would have to be defined as something that God had created, because God has created everything.
Or it's co-eternal with God. Right. You know, there's God and there's nothing.
Right. So the definition of nothing is that it's, to us, it's something, but it just has a nothing sort of a meaning or something.
That's right. And so the Hebrew idea is that God fills everything.
Oh, okay. Right.
He fills everything. There's no place where God is not. There's no nothing place where God doesn't, you know, exist. Everything's there, right? So when the Catechism uses creatio ex nihilo, it's saying that these elements of chaos did not coexist with God from eternity.
Okay.
And that separates the Bible from the pagans, because in the pagan worldview, it's a dualism. You have good and you got evil, and the evil are the elements of chaos. And so you had the chaos gods, the chaos god of darkness, the chaos god of the watery deep, and the chaos god of formless earth.
And they existed forever.
Right. And they never really die. They get in conflict with the creation gods, and like, you know, Tiamat, which actually is a word of the... in the Akkadian, for the chaos monster of death and darkness and what have you. The creation god, I believe it would be Baal or something like that, defeated it, but it never really killed it. But out of its remains, you get these aspects of darkness still lingering, always in conflict, subdued. It's almost like Star Wars, you know, okay, where you have a dualism where there's a disturbance in the force.
Sure,
okay?
Right. Yeah,
and there's always that evil there. And the Gnosticism that is in our culture basically follows that pagan cosmology, right? So what the Catechism is saying is that these elements are necessary, or that there's always this shadow with the good, but that God... It's understood that God had created these elements before, but he's now using them in his act of creation, and he creates by separating.
To make something better,
yeah. So he separates light, creates light from darkness.
Right, because darkness existed, and now we have light that separates the good.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. And he separates... The chaotic watery deeps, he separates out of that land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So therefore, I'm kind of careful with how I use the word creatio ex nihilo. If you look at the Catechism, it's not really explaining what nothing is. Okay.
That
it would
doesn't
be a
go into
hole,
that.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Really? What is nothing? That is nothing.
Yeah, right. Whatever a dark hole is, you know.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website, and then select the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of that page. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
So the important thing is that there is no place where God is not. Now, there's this ancient mystical idea that God created what, Danny, you're going to love this word, a zimzum. Zimzum. Okay, what the zimzum?
People are going to love listening
yeah,
to this.
Yeah, right, right. Where God actually sort of makes a tear or a rip into the fabric of himself, make a place where he can create to give creatures, both angelic and human creatures, the ability to have free choice, a space that he's not crowding them in with his with his hugeness and that sort of idea.
Not as overwhelming or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's you know, all speculative. But as far as this passage is concerned, that's what we're talking about. So if we go further on and we see that there are 6 days. And the first 3 days have got to do with tohu, that is dealing with a formlessness.
Okay.
And he does this by separating. Day one, darkness from light. Day two, waters above, waters below. Day three, you've got the separation of land from the sea.
Yep.
That's the tohu, the first 3 days. Now, the next 3 days, days four, five, and six. Thanks a lot, Danny. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they relate, right?
They relate.
Yeah.
Because if you look at day one, it relates. You got the tohu of separating the light from the darkness. And day four is actually filling the darkness and the light with
objects
sun,
in the sky,
moon, stars, all that sort of thing. That's filling the void. Okay. So there's a void. It's filling the void. Now, obviously, right off the bat, we can't see these days as literal, can we? Because how can you imagine, you know, the day and the night starting as we do here in the Hebrew thought, evening and morning, right? How can you even think about that the first 3 days without the sun, moon, and stars?
Right.
You can't.
Yeah.
So you know that we're talking about heavy symbolism here.
Yep.
Okay. So day four, God fills the light and it gives the light. Day five parallels day two, where God fills tohu, vafu, the vohu, okay, fills the vohu with the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And then finally, verse six, they've got to do with land, where God creates land animals and then humanity. But all of this, as we said before, is all understood liturgically. And I would say here, as we shall see as we move on, it's really a creating a cosmic temple, because we see on day one light that fills the clerestory, so to speak, of the great temple. Day two, we see that we have the separation, you know, creating atmosphere and what have you, waters above and below. But day three, we have a floor to it. One thing I forgot to mention, day two, the ceiling actually is created, because God creates what's called a rakia, which in Hebrew means it's a beaten out type thing with like a metal dome.
Like that's the dome, yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's all understood to be liturgical. It's all understood to be within holy space. The concept of holy space is so crucial to understanding
that,
this.
The dome is kind of atmosphere and the sky above.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very complex, because there's water above. Of course, it rains. There's moisture up
that's
there.
That's what I was thinking. When it says water above, I thought, okay, so that's clouds and the creation of rain to drop on the water
from,
below.
Where does it come from, that sort of thing? Now, again, that might seem a little primitive with regard to science. But you got to remember, they're speaking as they experience. Remember we talked about that last time?
Yes.
How we experience. And that's very important.
Right. Probably the most important thing is that experience and being able to immerse yourself in the experience of the story. So that's what they did.
Of course. Yeah. And it's our experience when we walk outside. If it's going to rain, what, you know, the water is from above.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So and of course the sky is blue, you know, and the clouds, they understood that the ceiling, so to speak, with its weather is really it's part of the cosmic house with the ceiling above us.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know. Do we talk enough about this already or what? Where are we with this whole thing for today podcast?
I think that it seems like it's good to me just to put a little bit of closure on it in my own mind. So God brings an orderly universe out of this primordial chaos.
Right.
Just by uttering the words of making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And not out of nothing, but out of those chaotic elements.
Right.
And he does it for us.
That's right.
And to me, again, that's the whole thing about this story, is it helps me understand God did this for me. God did this for humanity.
Right.
And so the creation of all of this, the beautiful story, the motifs and the way that I read it, it has to boil down to what's it about, and it's God's relationship
right.
to me.
And it's highly dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because God did not create everything without the elements. They just separated.
Mm.
So there's potential.
Ah,
And the potential, of course, has got to do with human choice. Right. And so everything's being set up in this cosmic temple for high drama.
Great.
And that's how we experience life, isn't it?
Sure.
Danny,
absolutely.
Life drama? Dramatic?
All the time.
Every individual life is dramatic. Every moment. I mean, we human, this whole, this, like one giant Netflix, Danny.
Yeah.
You know, God's
nah, it's worse. It's worse than that. Or better than that.
Right. So drama is all part of it, and it's all packed into this chapter, even though it's very orderly and moves along. Yet there's that little ominous tone that he didn't get rid of the watery deep. He didn't get rid of formless earth. He didn't get rid of the darkness.
Right. Okay? It's just foreshadowing for the story that's about to come.
That's right. That's right. But we do know that the elements of chaos are not divine. We know that somewhere down the line, and that's what the Catechism is really concerned about, God had made these. Matter of fact, in Isaiah, God boasts, did not I make darkness? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Didn't make sense. That's a whole other issue for another time.
Good. Time in the future. So now we know what Genesis 1 is about and
what
it isn't
not
about.
That's right.
Okay, good. Thanks for coming in, Father John.
God bless you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Deep Dive into Scripture link on that page for related text. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another Deep Dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.